Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence?
Yes, 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 we are back. You guys are here. You're at the right place. This is the greatest moment in your whole entire life. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you guys are listening to Carolyn Joe Show!
Wow.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody. My name is Joe Carabe. I'm a filmmaker, photographer, writer sometimes. Across from me is the wonderful, super talented, best person I've ever met in my whole entire life. How's it going, Carolyn?
Going. We're getting funky in here.
We have
a special guest today, and his name is Simon Kim.
Simon!
Yo, 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 what's up?
Dude, first time ever on this podcast. I've been waiting forever to have you on. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right. I'm kind of upset that it's taken this long for you to get me on
here, man. It's tough. It's tough because you know why? Because we're busy.
True.
But you know
true.
What? It's happening now, so we've got to embrace the next, like, 50 minutes or so.
All I know is it's that intro music. Oh, have me jamming. You guys can't see at home, but
you got the moves, man.
I got the move. Hand on the chest.
Hand on the chest.
Hand out like this.
I don't even know what we call that.
Huh?
What do we call that move? Is there a name for that?
The love dance.
The love dance?
Yeah. Look at that.
Hand on the heart. Hand in the where the empty space.
Getting down.
It's always amazing because, like, you know, we've worked together for like a long time. I don't even know how many years. It seems like it could possibly be over 7 years.
Over a decade.
And so many trips that we've had, like we've flown, we've been in cars, and we've been like, why isn't people just recording us talking right now?
Oh, because the level of genius that we talk about, like the subject matter and the things that come out of our mouth, man, people aren't ready for that.
People are not ready, but like that's, at this moment, they got to be ready because it's going to happen.
Dude, I'm telling you, we need to hit the road and just all of our theories. I remember that one time we were in Denver.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the lost
underground city.
Under the airport. I'm telling you, man.
It's great because, like, some people may think it's crazy, but we think it's so logical what we're talking about. You know,
well, because
I mean?
We have a lot of scientific evidence behind every argument that we make because we are scientists.
We are special. We're super scientists.
We are super scientists.
And, like, that's why I'm like, we need to have Simon on the podcast just so people have a taste of what's happening. You know what I mean? Just so people can have a little bit of a taste. But right now, people get a taste of the Carolyn's news. Carolyn, what's up?
Oh, my gosh. So much is up, guys. We have launched the Kickstarter campaign. It hasn't been a full, at the time of this recording, it hasn't been a full week yet, but we launched it on Monday evening, last Monday evening. And so far, I can't remember the exact percentage, but we're like around 44% funded. So almost halfway there. And it's a $5,000 goal. So that's, to me, that's a lot of money, and that will help pay for the printing of all the Curls comic strips in one book. How awesome is that, Simon?
Hey, that's awesome. And if you guys want to donate, I'll dance for your donations right here.
Ooh, that's
the plug, man.
I'm auditioning for the backup dancer role for this podcast. Is that cool?
I like that.
How am I doing?
Can you dance with the sharks from the Super Bowl?
The sharks from the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I don't know. Those guys were pretty talented.
So let's see you dance real quick. Let me see that bustin' work.
Yay.
The people are gonna get a sample of this.
Look at this.
Not too much. You gotta check into the podcast.
Just a sample.
You gotta check it in. Just a tad. Just a tad of crazy.
You guys hear me dance? That's how magical my performance is. It's beyond sight. Yes. Okay. Sorry.
I didn't know. Dancing needs to happen.
5K. You guys need to just dollar a day.
Yeah.
A dollar a day.
Well, I did the math because I'm a crazy mad scientist myself, and I figured out if all the donors that we already have that have donated, if they recruit two friends each to get a Curls book, then we'd already be funded by now.
That's $3? No, how much is that?
The book is $35.
Uh-huh. So if you don't have two friends, then you just... I don't even know what to say to you.
I mean, you can try. That's a good reason to get friends.
That is.
It's like, hey, I need a friend. Buy a book.
Yeah. And then we're officially friends.
Nice. Buying friendships here.
So we need the support, and I really appreciate everyone who's already pledged. It's going to be a great book. I'm going to deliver. It's going to be there. We have to raise the funds from now until March 25th. So
no, wait, it's not 25th.
Yeah, March 25th. That's when the Kickstarter campaign ends.
I thought it was the 28th.
No, it's the 25th.
Wait, let me check my documents.
And where are you guys at right now? What month?
Right now, we are around 44% funded.
44%. You said that already. Yeah. I was too busy dancing.
That's okay. So.
No, you're right. 25th.
25th.
Yes, March 25th is the cutoff date. So I know a lot of people have been telling me that they're
Wednesday,
waiting.
Wednesday, March 25th.
Yes.
It's the last Wednesday of March.
Yes.
Cool.
And a lot of people have been waiting. You know, they're like, oh, I'll donate at the end, which I don't, you know, I get that like extra push, but it would kind of be nice to like have it now just so like the train keeps moving.
To get it done with, right?
Yeah, don't be a bandwagon fan.
And also, you know what? All of the pledges, it all goes through once it reaches 100% on March 25th. So even if you were to charge your credit card now, it won't go through now. It all matters if everything hits 100% by March 25th.
So they can save up now.
Yeah, you can save up, but you know you won't be charged until the project gets funded.
One of my favorite pledges, or whatever what's it called, the points on
the prize levels.
Yeah, the prize levels is the fact that
they're not prizes, but they're
pledges.
Whatever.
The big pledge. The big pledge is actually to have you and I go. What is it? We go for a speaking engagement.
Yeah, a speaking engagement and the signing, and we can talk about anything you want. Comics, self-publishing.
You can do a podcast live.
We can do a live podcast. We can.
And there's another
talk
pledge
about filmmaking.
There's also another pledge where are we taking them out for the town, like in DC or something like that.
Yeah, another pledge. I think for $1,000, it's one of the higher level pledges. But it's an opportunity. We'll take you out for a night on the town in Washington DC, have dinner, and have fun, talk, mingle, get to know each other.
See, those are the dangerous ones, Simon.
Those are dangerous. You never know what you're signing up for.
Yeah.
You never know what you're signing up for, though. Not on the town with these two.
It's like, you know, don't be weird.
It's like it's either they come to us for a night in town or we go to them. Like, we take over their town.
And then it's just an adventure, huh? Harold and Kumar type of thing, but obviously.
Karen. Yeah, maybe. I mean,
who's Kumar?
Well, I'm not. Know. I don't count as Asian. Huh? So
we're our own thing. We're Carolyn and Joe.
Nice.
But yeah, like, hey, if we can make a whole big thing out of it, if you want to, we can have our own little short film of us traveling. Who knows what's gonna happen with this whole thing? I mean, honestly, you know, I threw those in there as bigger amount ones, but I'm expecting most people to get the book. But there's a lot of really other cool stuff too, like for $100 I can draw you as an avatar and you get to keep the original line art, and I give you a digital copy that's colored, and that looks awesome because, like, you know, you need to have a really cool avatar for your social media adventures. And I have an example of one that I've already drawn to show you what it might look like, and I think they look pretty rad. I mean, it's one of a kind and you get the original art. It's pretty sweet.
I'm really excited about it. I think the world's going to make this happen.
Yeah, it better, because I don't want to announce I'm going to kill myself if this project doesn't happen, but I might kill myself.
Well, it's too late.
This project doesn't happen.
Well, there you go. That's a good reason to pledge.
You need to pledge, because otherwise I might be dead.
That type of talk is equivalent to like that one time when we went on, what was it called? What is it where you're like, you can choose online, like who's not hot, who's hot or not, or it was chat roulette.
Uh-huh.
I remember seeing the chat.
Before we get into chat roulette, real quick, I just want to tell people how they can pledge.
Okay.
And like finish up the news, because my news segment has like ended, and then we'll go right into chat roulette.
Okay, right.
But you guys can pledge. The easiest way to do it is to go to Kickstarter.com and then search the word curls, CURLS, because the URL is so long. But also you can go to tinyurl.com/curlskickstarter. That's like, might be better for you, or just go to curls-studio.com/curls and find out a whole bunch of information. Or if you're following me online, you can find a link probably from that, or just Google Curls Kickstarter. You can also find it that way. So much links, so much everything. And also one more thing, upcoming tour dates. March 8th, that's this coming Sunday, Joe and I will be at the Stone Branch School of Art in Maryland. So
nice.
Upcoming.
We got moments and we got places. So
yeah.
We're not gonna talk about chat roulette at that art school.
No.
We're not.
And also, I just want to say that that event is open to the public, to anyone. Children, adults, it's in all ages, everybody's included type deal. You don't have to go to that school or anything special. It's general admission. I believe it's free. Again, this is March 8th from 2 to 4 p.m. Stone Branch School of Art in Maryland. We will see you there.
I'm excited because, like, I don't know, Simon, do you do a lot of speaking engagements?
No, I don't, man.
Or is that something that you want to do or look forward to?
I think eventually, man. To me right now, I don't know. I think I need more practice at it than anything. It's not something that I have my mindset on.
You're getting
I have
it
done
now.
A couple. Yeah, I am. I think this is my like popping of the cherry as far as like public speaking.
Because I feel like you do pretty. I mean, like whenever I worked with you, and then you're at a director capacity that you do speak well. You know what I mean? You do get people excited. So I'm interested to see what you would do if you were in it. Like, hey kids, say no to drugs. You
know, I don't know if I'd be saying that, but no, I mean, you know how it is, though. When you're in the element, you're on set.
You're not going to tell them to say no to drugs.
No, because I don't know.
You're like,
man.
Listen, this is real inspiration.
Drugs are cool, man. Drugs are cool. Just don't abuse them, but I think kids need to know the truth.
Just
man.
Like everything, in moderation.
In moderation, man. There's nothing wrong with a little marijuana, speaking of which is legal in D.C.
Legal in D.C. Did you do a set? Did you guys have a celebration of that?
I have never even done that.
Say what?
I've never even done it.
Done what?
Marijuana.
Oh my God, yo, if you guys pledge $5,000, Carolyn's gonna get high for the first time in her life.
Oh God. Actually, I might do that.
You should. Like, that would, like, and then we should film it.
No!
Have you seen
that?
Have
you on the internet?
You haven't seen
everywhere?
The video of the grandmothers taking bong hits for the very first time and they just show.
Where would I find this video?
You gotta Google it. Grandmothers getting high for the first time and they just basically have three grandmothers sitting at a panel, one camera, and then they just smoke a bong, and then it's just like, what do? They're playing Jenga. They just look so lost.
Simon, how does such a video just like drop into your lap? How do you have to search for that, or do people like, do you have friends that are like, listen, I was online last night. They text that to you. You know what I mean?
I think the universe just sends me things. You know what I mean? And I'm not. I'm gonna admit, I smoke weed, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know?
I personally think it's legal now.
See, this is the thing. Especially not. I personally have no problem with people smoking weed. Because if they can smoke weed, that means I cannot smoke weed. If you have that choice, just make your choice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And the thing is, it's a lot safer than drinking.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I'm against drinking altogether. But
yeah,
again,
you don't, yeah, I'm not speaking with two people that don't really drink.
But here's the thing: it's like it's just like anything. If someone can have freedom of speech, it doesn't mean they always have to. Like, you should just be pushing. Oh, they should curse and be doing that. The fact that you have that choice, I think, is great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can do whatever the hell you want. I'm not going to say, hey, drinking is bad because, you know, that's what they do.
Right.
That's what they do.
And there's some serious drugs out there that, you know, I'm not going to judge you if you decide.
Yeah, we've all watched Breaking Bad. And
we've seen all that. So that's cool. It's just, as long as it's not affecting anybody else around you, I think you should be allowed to do whatever you want.
What do they say? Like, just be responsible. Right?
Yeah, that's so funny saying that. Right? While you're starting a line of cocaine.
Don't be me. Literally, that's what happens. Whenever I see speakers or talking about drugs and like telling kids not to do it, they've already done it, dude. You know what I mean? They've done it all.
Or they're sipping on like a whiskey cocktail in the middle of the day, and they're gonna have all the audacity to tell somebody not to do. You know, marijuana is harmless.
You know what's hilarious is that like when I turned 21, mm-hmm. right? And my brother was like, I'm going to go get you drunk tonight. You're 21. I was like, all right, I guess that's your goal in life, to get me drunk. There's so many people. It's funny when I tell people that I don't drink or smoke, they're like, it's like it's like their mission in life. We're like, one day we're going to get you fucked up, Joe. And I'm like, what type of person is that, dude?
Okay, so when you're in high school, I guess when you get older, it's not the case anymore. And this, I might sound like a complete sleazeball, but when you're in your early 20s, like high school, whatever, you want to be
early
20s. You want to be the guy that deflowers.
Yeah.
You know, right? So yeah. It's like it's that same mentality. Like, oh, you're a drug virgin.
Yeah.
Let me pop that drug.
Let me
virgin
be that guy.
Cherry. Let me be that guy.
Let me get you addicted.
Let me be the one that just takes you to the. To the other
and
side,
and they can be like,
you
know? "I did it, yo, because of me.
I popped his cherry.
I'm the reason why he fucked up, you know, like stuff like that." It's the same. I think it's the same emotion people get when they're like, "Oh, this tastes like shit. Try it," you know what I mean?
Because they want to see your face just cringe and. You know, misery loves company.
But like, when I turned 21, my brother took me to a bar, and then my but my dad's coworker was there, like drinking and getting drunk, right? And he was already like plastered, and he was talking about how awesome my dad was and how he doesn't drink, and then he was like, "Yeah, man, don't drink, dude. This is so stupid. While he's freaking just nailing them down. It's like, I was like, well, that's enough of a, that's like a scared straight situation.
You know what's funny, too? Like, we're all, like, visual artists. And I've also heard people, like, when you talk to young kids, they're like, yeah, just don't even get into the arts. Don't even do it. Like,
all of us make our, all three of us here make our living in the creative field.
No, but haven't you heard of, like, it's like, they're like, I want to be an artist when I grow up. The kids. And then you're like, oh, yeah.
No, I've struggled. I just remember.
Gonna be a problem.
I just remember my teachers in elementary school being like, "No, don't," because I wanted to be a comic book artist, and they're like, "No, don't do that. You're not gonna make money." When were you always wanting to be an artist, Simon? Or I don't know if you classify yourself as an artist. I don't really classify myself.
The artist, tell me. Formerly known, whatever.
Yeah, but like working
as a creative,
Yeah. Like making a living for that. Was that always something that you wanted to do?
Always. I think it was just something that I've always been exposed to art, music. You know, my family is very artistic and creative, so I was exposed to, you know.
What did your parents do, like, creative wise like, that influenced you?
So my dad, he was, you know, he's a singer,
and I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's always been involved in choirs though, and so okay. he was a conductor at some point. No, it is, but it's like, I don't know, it was like always church related or just like choir,
because they gotta,
you know,
hit choirs. Their notes too, right?
They do. And he was a bass, so he was a conductor so he was always involved in music, that aspect. But even his sisters, you know, they his younger sister plays piano, the other one, you know, is an art teacher. So like, even growing up as a kid, they influenced me heavily, because you know I have pictures of when I was like 2 in Korea painting.
I didn't wait, you were you born in Korea?
I wasn't. I was born here in Cali, and then then I went to, you know, Korean families, and I know a lot of Asian families are like this too. Grandparents usually raise the children while the parents go and work like 80 hours a week.
I remember that's how
So my grandparents raised me, so they lived in Korea. So I lived in Korea for, you know, 2 years after I was born, before I came back to the States to live here permanently. So.
But in Korea, that's when you started performing? Is that what happened when you started singing there?
I think that's when it was just, I was just immersed in it. As soon as I was born, I think I've just been surrounded by creativity.
That's great. It was almost like you were never discouraged. I mean, I was never discouraged either, but I did come across, like, people in life that they were just like, oh, don't go into the arts.
I think those are the people that got burned.
Yeah, they did get, like, they usually get burned.
Don't even, no.
And they're usually teachers.
I had good art teachers. They were, like, Mr. Evelyn, he was
The art teachers, but I've always experienced that from, like, other teachers, to, like, you know.
Oh, like English teachers or something?
They're always, like, telling you, like, it's career day. These are the things that you could do. Oh, look, no, you should... That's not a guarantee.
Or the
win.
Counselors, right. They're like.
I mean, art working in that field is not really ever a guarantee. You know what I mean? I've always been listed. Like, I've always, like, I remember, because my mom was a nurse. I guess she still is. I don't know. But she was always like, well, you know, when those jobs go away, they're still going to need mine, because you're always going to need nurses and stuff like that.
That's like a guaranteed field.
Yeah. So, like, I guess what we do is not really a guaranteed field, but it helps. Inspire, it helps people, like, it lifts them up. I remember in one of my film classes, they were like saying, like, okay, so we can totally do without films and without music videos, but where would we be? We wouldn't be, this is, you know, it makes people happy,
right?
Where else? Mm-hmm. No one wants to go to the doctor. When do you ever go to the doctor and you leave really happy? You know what I mean? It's like when you go to, like, get an oil change and you're always expecting them to be like, well, your belt is fucked up. You know what I mean? Like, something like that. But, like, you go to the movies and you look at a piece of art. These are things that make people happy and inspire in some way. Even though the whole world of it's probably fake as shit.
Right, right.
But, like, it's like, but I'm always saying this. It's like whenever for, say, Simon or even Carolyn, when people look at what we do and they're like, oh, you get to be on set. Oh, you work with these models, or you're working with these musicians. They're like, that must be so glamorous. And in the back of my head, I'm always like, oh, I can tell them that it's like a hustle. It's hard and difficult. But I stop myself, because I'm like, but they need to feel that it's something special.
Right.
Or else, how are we supposed to charge this money? No, right. But, like, you know, they need that. They need to, people need to make it feel like it's special, because or else what else is there that makes them inspired to feel special? You know, mm-hmm. They need the glamour, you know?
But smoke and mirrors type
of
thing.
Yeah, they need
too.
That.
The Wizard of Oz, because once you unveil the wizard, it's like it's not as special anymore. And it's important. I think a lot of these people that say those kind of things, they're so focused on money or status being like the key to happiness.
Yeah.
And I think they don't really understand the people who do this for a living. It's beyond just a paycheck. Because I've had full-time jobs before, and I've worked over like 30 jobs, you know, like the part-time and all that. And I've realized, like, money wasn't never satisfied me.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't.
So it's got to go beyond that.
Because you know what? With money, you just give it away.
You give it away, you spend it. And
also, like, if you think the next level of money, what really is money? It's just, it's a government thing that just keeps the cycle, keeps everyone sort of in line. Right. If you think about it.
You know what's crazy, too, with Hollywood and I guess some part of filmmaking, maybe at a higher level even, it always amazes me, though, that, like, even big-time actors, like, if they're, like, one step away from being, like, housewife or something, or, like, working as a waitress, like, I'm sure there's, like, certain, like, I don't know, making up a name, like Jennifer Aniston or something, if things never worked out for her and she never got that Friends audition role, like, she could be a waitress, like, right now, you know, still be trying to make something out of herself. And I just think it's funny how, like, one decision can, like, flip everything for the rest of your life. Like, that's just so amazing to me. Like, because, and it also must be, I wonder, like, if I was to be inside Jennifer Aniston's head and, like, think about it. I'm sure she thinks about it. Like, one day she's just like, man, if I didn't get that role in Friends, like, I wouldn't be anything, you know, like, and now she's like huge, you know, and she's a movie star.
That's that. Everyone has that breakout. Did you have a turning point like that, Simon, where you're like, okay, I'm going to do this. This seems like the right fit. Like, I don't know. What would you classify that you actually like say that you do? You know what I mean? Because I've always had that trouble of being like, well, I do this, this and that. But have you figured out like a way to pitch yourself?
I think I'm coming to that point, you know,
of like, this is like how I can identify myself.
I think so. I think it takes a while. And even Jennifer Aniston or a lot of these people, I think there's still, you know, there's never a key moment. Like, I'm sure that Friends audition was probably like a huge milestone, but I'm sure there was like 4 or 5 moments before that, and maybe even 10 moments after that, that kind of like let her set, you know, get her into the groove of who she's going to become.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is too, it's like they're probably considering like several other women to play the part of Rachel, and they just happened to like pick her. You know, like, what about the person that was like almost picked? And just the simple decisions behind the scenes by like one person. One person can be like, the other girl, her hair's a little too blonde. I'm thinking like more of like a mixed brunette, you know, like, and then they're like, well, how about Jennifer Aniston? You know what I mean? And it's like that one little comment, just one sentence that somebody had a thought changed everything. You know, I don't know if that, you know, was the exact same sentence that got her, but it's just crazy though.
Do you ever think about that, Simon? How like, if you think about it, whenever we do casting or whenever we, you know, talk to anyone, that you sort of have like their future in the palm of your hands.
I'm coming to realize that we have actually a lot more impact than we like on surface. You know, you're just going in there and you're doing your job. Yeah. And you're on set and we're in the trenches and we're just working. Yeah. But when you step back and think about it, like, you are creating ripples across everywhere. Know, the entire spectrum.
Yeah.
Like from a PA.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who's just getting you coffee, or somebody who's just sole focus is on the lights, but something happens over here with this talent and it creates ripple effects that I don't think that you realize until years later. That,
yeah.
Oh my God, that moment was crazy.
It is. Know? Yeah, and I feel like there's like almost like a responsibility to that too.
There
you
is.
Know what I mean? Because it's like, I mean, by choosing someone, you could literally like, you know, change the how their outlook and a whole entire from then on. You know what I mean?
Good
like,
and
oh,
bad.
You're like, oh my God, they, you know, they're like, oh, we casted you in this part, and then you see how like everyone's all like, oh, you're famous now, and stuff like that. You're like, well, they would never had that without you,
right?
You know what I mean? And that's sort of like you have a responsibility to that.
And that's what I'm coming to realize more than like who I am or whatever. It's really the power in our actions in what we do. You know, as creatives, I think we have a lot more power than we give ourselves. You know, a doctor has power because they can heal you.
Or they can choose not to heal you.
They can choose not to heal you. And we just look at it as, oh, we're just creating. But deep down inside, like, there's a reason why art is important. It's because, like, on the other side of that, it creates a huge impact that I think goes beyond just, like, a tangible thing that you can see. You know, and so it's caused me to kind of step back and be more careful. And also how I talk to people on set. You know, I have a temper.
Oh yeah, you have a temper.
Yeah, I've always had a temper.
I remember my favorite moment of temper that you had, and I find this super
top ten temper moments.
Because remember, I have a temper too, but like I don't know, I've sort of guided it with like smartassness now.
I've experienced that from Joe Carey.
But one of my favorite I guess temper Simon moments was me and you on a Virgin plane. Do you remember this?
On a plane that's never been flown before, Virgin Airlines,
on the way back to DC, and I swear I don't even know if I'm going to tell this story right, But I love this story, and I love it so much.
I don't think I've ever heard this story.
But you were there. Okay, so here's the seating arrangement, all right? I'm in the middle, you're in the window, and there's some other dude next to me. And then Virgin Airlines, you can, like, order as many. You know, you can press the... You don't have to wait for the guy. You can actually just keep on pressing him, right?
On the screen, yeah.
So... I don't know what you're... I forget if you're getting an alcoholic beverage or just a normal, like, cranberry juice or something like that. But you kept on... You're like, all right, I'm going to save this... what is it? Not custodian. The...
Flight attendant.
The flight attendant. I'm going to save him some time.
Custodian?
Sorry. I'm going to wait.
Oh my God.
I'm going to save the custodian some time.
What? And it's a flight attendant.
All right, this bus...
Apparently there's an elementary school. In the, yeah.
The flight attendant. I'm gonna save this because sometimes we feel like the flight attendants on
they just pick up
little,
the trash.
Sometimes they feel like they're a little gay. I don't know if they're not. But they're probably not. But like Simon's like, I'm gonna save some time and I'm gonna order four of these drinks, so he doesn't have to keep one. He's just gonna bring four of them over. And
let's pretend that they weren't alcoholic.
Yeah, they're not
alcoholic. I was ordering four cranberry juices.
They're whatever.
I need my antioxidants.
Yeah.
Sorry.
God yeah. So you ordered, like you pressed it because you can order four. You can keep on pressing it to order four, whatever. And he comes and brings one, right? And then, you know, walks away. And you're like, I ordered four. So you get to you pressed it again and more. And then, like, he would come back a little bit more pissy, but then he would give you, like, one. He would keep on just giving you one. And then it was to the point where you're like, the fuck, dude? Why does he keep on... What does he have, like, some sort of problem with me? Because then I see the because it feels like now from his perspective that we're, like, trying to play some sort of prank on him. But I keep on getting... Or, you know, like, if you're, like, in a Chinese restaurant and, like, if the guy is filling your water and then you drink it real fast, so he's still filling up again, like, when he's right next to you. It was like that... It felt like it was that type of joke from his perspective. But from you, it was legit. You just kept on wanting so he wouldn't have to keep coming back and forth. But now both of you were really pissed off. You know what I mean? And I can sense that. So, like, when you ordered the drink, the next time... And he came down and he's like, all right, here you go, sir. And then you go and be like, sir, was there anything I did that pissed you off? Because I feel like there's something in between.
I said that?
You said that.
I don't remember this at all.
Because
clearly I was blacked out. Or maybe I had like 8 drinks beforehand. I do not remember this.
No, but it was legit.
For the record.
Dude, it was legit. Like, you looked him in his eye and he was like, you're like, did I do something wrong to piss you off? Because I swear I'm not doing anything, and I feel like you're really pissed off. I'm just trying to get a drink. And he's like, no, because, I mean, you kept on giving me drinks. It was, like, legit, and you're like, I just thought you were messing with me, because, like, usually people just get one, but you were pressed four, and you kept on pressing it. It was just back and forth. And I was like, holy crap, this is amazing. There might be a fight. But we just
disclaimer, Joe Carabeo is a storyteller, filmmaker, and writer, and some of this might be dramatized.
This might be fabricated.
Just a little. I do not recall any of this, and the fact that that's the temper story.
No, but what's great is that, like...
What escalated?
Nothing escalated, but I just love the fact that it was, like, there's, like, this temper... Not, it wasn't like, no, this sucks, but it was like this...
It was like a confrontational of, like... Did I do anything to you?
Yeah, so like, yeah, no, but like, there was a temper, but you see, I can tell you're keeping it in, but it was like, I could tell, like, you're like, what the fuck is going on? This makes me real mad. I don't know what's going on, but for me, I felt like why it's my favorite story is because of the absurdity of it just being about a drink and he comes back and forth. Nice. I'm like, what the hell?
I've learned my lesson. You know, I've grown.
You're like, did I do anything to piss you off? Tell me right now, and I'll fix it. What's Aww. Going on?
I've learned you just bring your own liquor onto the plane.
Yeah, you just bring
you don't
your
have
own.
To face these issues and these challenges of slow drink service.
You don't have to deal with the custodians.
Custodians, God, hurry
but
up!
But I was like, it's like this gay custodian.
Gay custodian now. He dances while he
I don't
sleeps.
Know. Like, I'm not saying that's what Virgin has, but I'm thinking, like, you know, a lot of times either that or they're dancers.
Hey, shout out Virgin though. Virgin Airways, best plane.
Yeah,
ever
they do.
I've heard great
looks like a dance club. Club in there.
Damn, it was Richard Branson. Yeah, man, that guy knows how to fly.
Yeah, that's some good. Like, beyond that I've never flown Virgin. beyond this stuff that we've done, I was like, holy crap, this is because no one else is paying for Virgin.
Where were we going? Oh, that was a learning together
that
thing. Where we're going out to
yeah,
San Francisco.
We learned together
Texas.
On that.
Yeah, damn, we've been on some journeys, huh? But yeah, I think temper. It's now if I was on the plane, like it would be a much more mellow. Simon Kim before
the worst time for you to ever have a temper, Simon, is in the middle of a meal.
For me?
Well, when I've been around, because it's only a temper where if you got off a phone call and you're like, oh, and I can just sense the energy.
It's tough,
and then I look at my food and I'm like, I don't want to eat this. Simon's mad.
It's tough, man. I think that's the one thing I've grown the most. I think letting some of the stuff just be, you know, not so serious.
Yeah.
And I think as artists, you know, you guys can.
Yeah.
Can agree or disagree. I don't know, but I feel like as creatives, we put our heart into everything.
Yeah.
So sometimes there's a tendency to take shit just a little too personal.
Because that's, yeah. But also, like, I still do to this day. Like, really, like, anything involving that, you know, just all of that is still personal because everything I do that's for myself, I mean, it's personal.
But
you know
I think
what
I mean? As time goes by, I think I've let, you know, like, how everyone says now, let it go. Because it's just so much stuff, like, that also a lot of people always say, like, choose your battles.
Yeah,
so it's like, I can't, like, fight everybody, so, right. I mean, I don't know how temper I have, but I feel like it has decreased over the years. Maybe that's what's happening with you, Simon, too. It's like, you're learning, like, man, I don't have to fight everybody on this. Yeah. You know, you have to really determine, like, how much worth it is to that.
Yeah, like, there's that moment.
I've become a Zen master.
For me, I feel like the best way I've had to handle, like just crap being thrown at me where I legit would feel like punching a wall or, like, destroying the whole planet by pushing a button. I've realized that I could either I have to, like, not rush to respond, you know what I mean?
Right.
Not be like, because, you know, there's that tendency, I guess, when I was younger, to have to be like, well, I'm gonna make a response right now. Right. You know what I mean? I'm gonna say what you're, you know, blah 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 blah. That, you know, and I've realized power is in patience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, if I can regain my thoughts, I can say, I got to realize what my choices are. Do I want to continue? If this is a relationship, to continue this relationship, let's lay things all out. Do you want this? Do you want to, you know, should I, you know, suck in my ego? Should I, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's a lot harder when you're in the intensity of being on set and you got pressure, like, time, and especially if you're in a director role or producer role, you have everybody coming to you with questions or shit's going wrong. And not only that, the relationship and the interpersonal connection you have with your crew, and like, there's so much to manage when you're first starting off. I think that's kind of like where you learn the ropes of how to deal with people. It's not about how you're creating, because I think that just comes natural to us.
Yeah.
It's really dealing with other people. How do I tell them or persuade them to do this? And then when they fuck up, how do you keep yourself from being like, get the fuck off my set or get the fuck out of here?
There have been some, even recently, there have been many times I'm like, I mean, I would just be like, why is that person here? Can we get him? Like, and you know what's funny about the way I think is that, like, I would love to say, get the fuck off my set. What's your name? Jonathan? Fuck you, get out of here.
You'll never work in this scene ever again.
I can't, like, I'm not one of those guys. I'm seriously not one of those guys that will feel bad. I look forward to, like, just wanting, I look forward to having to demolish somebody.
But, evil genius.
But that's, okay. But the thing is, though, it's like those choices, like, well, if I do that, then word will get out, or it's not it's not professional. Mm-hmm. The key thing now, literally, I think the word is professional. Right. You know what I mean? Because that's what it is.
It's like, just be professional, communicate with people, get back to people.
Get the work done. That's literally
it. Get the work done, do the best you can do within the given time frame and, like, budget, you know, work that budget to do the most you can out of it. Because sometimes the budget's small and you have to actually be super clever about it.
And a lot of times, usually the budget is small.
Especially with the passion stuff, you're just doing it. You're making it happen. But I think with all that too, understanding is just taking time, like you said, not reacting right away.
Yeah.
Just taking a step back, taking a breath, and then just understanding where everybody's coming from. 10.
Understand the landscape of what's happening in front of you.
Because we've all been there. Like, we forget. Like, we forget we've been doing this for so long. We forget there are times where we fucked up. Or there are times where we're learning. And
we probably still do to this day.
Yeah.
We always learn.
And I've been fortunate. I know we all have to have people who are understanding when we were coming up. So I think that's my biggest struggle right now, is not letting the passion kind of, you know, when you start getting into that zone and all you see is red, and then you forget to take a step back and be like, you know what, this isn't brain surgery. We're not saving anybody's life here. We're just making a movie. So let's relax and chill out. And
that's always the fun part, is realizing, like, listen, Again, we're not like saving somebody.
This isn't brain surgery.
But then that's the
thing. We can manipulate ourselves really thinking like, well, we can save a life.
I always like, for some reason, which I shouldn't do, but compare like doctors to creatives because like they have the more important job. I hate to say it, but it's true. It's like they can straight up save, and not even just somebody's life, a stranger's life. Mm-hmm. Like someone that they don't even know, or maybe they don't even care about, or maybe that person's like an asshole, or maybe that person like just murdered somebody and they're trying to keep them alive or something. You know, like, I have no idea. Like, they're dealing with total strangers and they can, like, save people's lives or, you know, fix even just a broken leg and stuff like that. And they can heal something that isn't as relevant, like the leg. And whereas, like, but for...
Not so relevant. We don't know this. Well, I mean,
like, we can replace those now.
I mean, I'm just saying there's, like, a part where it's like, dude, this guy is in, like, critical condition. We need to fix him. And then it's, like, fast, you know? But whereas, like, the broken leg, it's like, yeah, I can do that after I fix this other guy who's like dying.
Yeah, it's a brain surgery. It's brain surgery versus a limb. It's yeah, like which yeah. is more important.
But what I'm getting at is that like we're still like so passionate about what we do. So like it's so messed up to be like the lighting. Oh, we gotta light her properly, and then like that's nothing compared to doctors. But we do make. I think we do make people
that's funny.
happy.
But like here, that's a weird example because I've never once been like, we need to light her properly. Get her light now. Get that softbox in there closer.
Scalpel.
No, it is. Actually,
give me the apple box.
You know what's funny though? Like when I've worked on it's weird. This is how I see it. When we're working on a film set. Or any big managed project, I feel like there's more stress to that drama level on, say, like, I don't want to say lower end, but like say like a PA or like that's not a key, that who has more fear of being yelled at by the keys. Mm-hmm. Like I remember specifically when I was working on a feature film and I was a key position, and I mean, this may be me you know, telling everyone I'm an asshole, but everyone knows I'm an asshole, but. I said this jokingly. A PA came up to me and be like, "They need you on set like right now." And I was like, "I'm going to the bathroom." And like, and she started pulling me. And I was like, "What are you doing? They need you. Go down there." I was like, "Tell them they can wait." And then she goes like, "They're gonna fire me if you do that." Fuck off, man.
Oh my god, that's so stressful for her.
But like, I'm like, relax, dude. Hold on. Let them like. You want me? You know what I mean? It's like. They come like because they're in such fear, but I'm in the key position. I know I can probably get fired, but like I gotta get what I'm doing done because like in there's certain situations where you can't be like, oh, well, okay, I'll run now. You gotta make sure you can get what you need. I know bathroom's not, but whatever it is, whatever situation, you need to get that done first and then move properly.
Did she try to pull you while you were holding on to your dick?
You're like, I'm going.
That would have been inappropriate.
Wait, did you say she tried to pull me while holding on to my dick?
Hey, were you in mid-pee? You're like, no, I definitely cannot stop now. It stinks.
But it's like that. But I feel like I pulled that card where I'm like, hold on a second. They can wait for me.
It actually, filmmaking is a lot like peeing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You gotta wait till you finish. You gotta make sure everything's done. You gotta, you know, give it a little shake.
You do.
Lights are, you know, properly secured, camera angles where you want it to be, lighting and all. It's
true. It needs to be done properly or someone's gonna get hurt.
Somebody's gonna get hurt, and it's usually you.
It's usually, yeah.
Because you're holding in that pee for a long time.
Yeah.
I.e., like when I was driving here today and I couldn't even take 5 seconds to say, hey, Joe, because I had to run straight to the bathroom.
Yeah, you're just like, here, shake. At least you didn't, you know, you washed your hands afterwards.
I did wash my hands with soap thoroughly.
But I feel like that's where the, I don't know, after a while, and you said it right, I stopped taking all that drama super serious. Mm-hmm. I just really, what I did was I just had a guarantee in my head that I'm working as fast and as best as I possibly can. If I'm doing that, and then anything beyond that is unsafe.
Right.
I think people are living in fear, though. Like, I guess I can talk about it now because I don't work there anymore, but my last job, you know, I thought our art director was like super great, so, you know, and I'm friends with him, so hopefully if he's listening he doesn't take offense, but, you know, like he was great, but also he came from a background of being a professional chef, so it really was like working in a hot kitchen. He's like, get the PDF, and it was like, I was like,
Dad, hurry!
Like
on the fly, man.
It was seriously like,
it's not even done cooking yet, put it out there.
I know.
You can't,
like,
put an uncooked PDF out there. They won't enjoy it.
That's what it was like. And
people don't know what a PDF is.
and the that's what it was like. But like, I totally enjoyed certain moments of working there. But looking back on it in hindsight, I'm like, that was so crazy to work under that pressure and those hours. And just like in my head, I'm like, design shouldn't be like this to this extent. But it was really fun to have it that intense.
And I'm not gonna lie. I actually really revel in the fact that there's chaos in what we do. I almost call myself the ringleader of chaos, Simon.
The ringleader. Oh, sorry, I'm taking
yourself.
Hold on.
No, because there's a moment, like I always call like filmmaking or film production, even photography, it's a circus. You know what I mean? And I really love the fact that like shit goes down. Like it's crazy. It's just the more absurd a shoot or a moments that happen, I love it. I'm just like, really? This is actually happening?
You're like,
I
action
love this.
Is here. Oh, I'm yeah. here for the action.
You know? Yeah. I love, and there's a certain person that has to love that drama to do what we do, I feel like.
We thrive in that. It's the same analogy. Working in the trenches. You know, and we're at the end of the day, we're just grown kids.
Yeah.
Who want to play fantasy, you know, want to be ninjas and soldiers and go out there and be like, we're going to war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to.
That's how every time I work with Joe, that's how I approach it. I'm like, Joe, we're about to go to war.
I remember when we were, remember one morning.
Here's the game plan.
And the best metaphor for that was one morning, we were like, we were pre-setting all of our gear and loading like our cards and our batteries into our cameras. I was like, dude, this is like we're getting our arsenal up. it's like we're getting our weapons, you know? But there's some people that really like, you know, I feel bad that they take that seriousness serious, if that makes sense. And they're just like, oh no, we're not going to make it. But I'm like, yeah, come on, dude, really? Like if you don't end up doing this job, no one's really going to die.
Right.
I understand people will be mad. You know what I mean? But we can always talk to them to not be mad.
I feel like if you're going to be in this industry, design or any creative filmmaking, I feel like the rule should be at the end of the project, it's a clean slate.
Yeah.
Anything that happened in the intensity with all the emotions and stuff, you just cannot take it personal. So it's done, cool. We made it, guys. We survived this war. We probably cursed at each other, called each other fucking names
And you know for a fact, more yelling. Are you talking about just the shoot itself, or are you talking about when the whole project is done?
When the whole project is done, because I think when you're in
there's more yelling to be had in the edit suite
and going back and forth.
There's the most yelling I've had by myself, and Carolyn's been heard that before. I'm like, fuck!
By yourself?
Like, he's just
who's
by
fucking
himself.
Shooting that shit?
You're just cursing everybody on set.
The fuck out of the shot! Get the fuck out of the shot!
You're like, there's a boom mic! The fuck with the boom mic there?
Never working to get delete off of contact list!
Oh, God. Actually, I've never seen you yell on set, to be honest with you. All the experiences that you and I have had, I've seen you get angry. I've visually seen his temper, but, like, he's never actually gone off on me. And I don't think I've ever gone off on him either. We'll jokingly, like, there'll be tension. And I'm speaking to Carolyn because I don't want to make eye contact with Joe right now.
Yeah.
I want to explain this.
We should look. This is how we work it out, Simon.
Yeah, this is how we work it out.
Let's stop looking. That still looks weird.
There have been times where in the heat of battle,
look at me.
Yeah, in the heat of, I can't even see. Look, I can feel him staring at me. But like in the heat of battle, where I could just see his face turn red, and then his actions are short. But I think we have such a respect for each other. It's that rapport. You know what I mean? I think that's why a lot of guys that are in this industry that have been doing for like 30 years, they work with the same people. Because at the end of the day, I think there's an unspoken communication between us two where if we're angry, we're angry, but we don't let it get past that.
But also, let's think of what I'm not angry. Well, when either of us are angry at each other, it's not really reasons of like, you killed my son. Or, like, you know what I mean?
It's usually killing babies, cutting a scene or something.
Usually, if there's anything, it's usually just stuff that's like out of our control. Where it's just like the shit has gone down. It's like, okay. And then, you know, when that tension is already there because the set, anything gets people like riled up. You're like, fuck this pizza. Let's shoot. I don't want to even eat it.
You know? Why the fuck is there pepperoni on this, man?
Yeah, and you know, you're not mad at the pepperoni, but you gotta be mad.
How can you be mad at pepperoni ever?
Oh, you can be mad at pepperoni.
Ever, no.
I'm never mad at pepperoni. But here's the thing that I think from just, you know, knowing both of us, both of us for a long time, is that what can happen is that since our passion spills out into the energy that we set out, is that when we're upset in a room, we can set the tone of a room. because people are so used to our energy
right.
that we give that say if we're pissed off or that something's wrong, people can notice that because they're not used to that I don't know, happy whatever that energy we have.
Happy, joy.
Custodian.
The custodian energy. Once that drops, I think we can bring a room down if we wanted to.
I think so. I think that's a power. I mean, not to sound like, we're superheroes, but we kind of are in a sense. So we have this ability. We're in a position anyways, I think, to have that kind of an impact. And that PA that probably was like trying to pull you mid-pee, it probably fucked her up more than it fucked with you. You're just like, leave me the fuck alone. I gotta pee, and then I'm gonna go do my job.
Yeah.
To her, she's like, oh my God, the rest of my life, I'm a failure at being a PA.
She's like, I'm out of the whole industry because of that incident. Yeah.
Now she's a custodian. Yeah. I don't know
what projects you were done after that.
But that's a lot of power. That's an influence that I think we need to be across the board.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have like assistant graphic designers or people that report to you. Have you ever gone off on? Because you seem like such a sweeper. I can't even imagine her ever really flipping on anybody.
I would love to.
You'd love to. Has she ever gone off on you?
I mean, I've seen her go off. You know, that's always the fun part. When it's just like, fuck this day. Smash.
I could not even imagine. Like, I can't. And I'm totally judging right here. But she's got this blanket over her lab. Like, she just looks so peaceful and sweet. I couldn't imagine you being like, that's not the CMYK color.
Has there ever been a CMYK
color?
No, it's not the right Pantone.
There's been moments, but usually it's over through like an email or something like that.
I'll be like, this person stretched the logo.
Yeah.
Which cannot be like this.
The recent one has been a stretch logo. Which
is somebody. Somebody like,
you're like
stretched
sad,
the logo.
Mad. Can't believe they did that.
No, I was like, tell them to hold down shift next time. Like, I was like,
but see, those are the things.
I was
that's
like,
why I'm so
I'm
great.
Sad that this has to be even mentioned.
As your brand manager, like, I totally disagree with these steps.
Uniform dimensions.
Yeah,
guys, you know what it is.
Like, seriously, I'm like, hold down shift. If you don't, I was like, anyone that doesn't know that, like, seriously.
She's like, that is a sign of an inexperienced designer.
My biggest pet peeve is people who don't drive with both hands. When I mean, like, in front of the computer, in post production, editing, any software. If you're using one hand, you're fucking doing it wrong.
How can you do one hand?
You gotta know all the key.
How do you do that?
The key commands, huh?
How do you
I see people do it. I want to punch them in their face.
Like just like sliding one hand.
It's like driving in the right lane at 10 miles per hour under the speed limit. It's like, just get the fuck out the driver's seat then.
Well, I mean, I have worked under, you know, like, I have actually worked under people
But you know that's what we're working towards, Simon, to not use any keyboard or mouse. Just
mind.
Just mind. They can tell me what I'm going to do.
Well, until that happens, goddammit, use both hands.
Had, like, a couple really, I won't call them mean, but, like, I guess enforceful art directors who have, like, yelled at me, even when I didn't do anything wrong, necessarily, but then they were, like, there was a time where I didn't know all the key commands, and I was still, you know, maybe, like, 2 years into it, and, like, I remember being, like, yelled at, being, like, you need to learn your key commands, and, like...
They slap your hand with the ruler, like, and, like...
No, but seriously, and it wasn't even just, like, hey, like... Like, how I would do it is, like, print out the key commands to the junior designer and be like, hey, here's a list of key commands. It would be cool to, like, start memorizing these because it'll help you go faster. You know, like, that's my approach of doing it. But I have actually been, like, yelled at by people that are, like, I guess it's tough love, you know. And then she was all like, oh, I'm into tough love, you know, like. And then, but then, like, it wasn't actually, like, you know, you look back on it in hindsight, it's like, that was kind of unnecessary, though.
This does,
like, there's no way that you should, like, have to yell at me about it.
That's a good question. I bring up to Simon because you've trained people, you've taught them.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever pulled the patented, like, move, let me do it?
Oh, all the time. All the time. It gets so, and I'm trying not to. And as these, you know, we have students at the studio.
Yeah.
So as they get to a certain level, then it's just kind of like, okay, now you can run on your own. But I still have students that are like, you know, they're just starting, you know, they're just learning how to edit, they're just shooting for the first time. So, like, you know, it's cool, but then they also work on real projects.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the trade-off is they come in and they get hands-on experience doing real work that we're going to present to the client that has real deadlines. So there's a certain point where that patience turns into, we gotta get this shit.
We gotta get this done.
Get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Watch. Just watch me.
Maybe I should have asked her, like, is there anything I have done that have made you pissed off? Because I can tell you're pissed off.
Did I do anything that made you mad?
Because I, don't know. I don't think I did anything. I think that there's just certain people, though, that, have to yell at people and they're control freaks.
Now,
you know?
The reason why I bring up that story, Simon, the one about the what's it called?
The alcoholism?
Yeah, the alcoholism one. It's because, you know, ever since you've done that, ever since you didn't yell, but ever since you used that line, I've been using that line.
What was the line again?
The one where, have I done anything to piss you off? Because I don't, you know what I mean? There's sometimes you don't know, but you need to ask. So someone's not just being silent, giving you the silent treat for no reason. You know what I mean?
I instantly just chalk it up to racism unless
it's always racism, man. It's always straight racism.
At the end
racism.
Of the day, it's racism.
It has to be. Or sexism.
There's no other answer. There's no other answer. But that
we're all minorities here.
No, but
I don't like that card being played all the time.
What, minorities?
Yeah.
Have you had that treatment ever, Simon?
No.
Really?
I think as Asian people, we get the reverse racism.
What is in your mind, what's the reverse racism?
It's like... I don't know.
We're he should be smart.
He
like that.
Should be able to do this.
He should play the violin.
Yeah, I expect more from this guy.
He should be good at doing that.
Yeah,
B plus out of family.
And yes, see.
Carolyn has witnessed that that experience firsthand. Didn't get an A out of family, with an Asian family.
But yeah, no, I mean, that's reverse.
We look down upon you if you don't make those grades.
Because we don't.
I've never actually met a dumb Asian person. I'm sure they're out there. There has to be.
There's gotta be.
It's tough. I don't think
Asians are dumb.
No, think about
met one. I've never met one.
No, seriously, you know how there's the average man in America is a white man. Okay, right? There's tons of levels of smartness in a white man. It can go from being a genius to being totally dumb.
Dumb as fuck.
Yeah. So there's the whole
thing. I've been cursing. Are we allowed to curse on this?
Yeah, yes. We're allowed to curse.
But I'm just saying the whole range of intelligence in a white man. You mm-hmm. can get anybody there. Mm-hmm. But as far as Asian men and women, I take that back. Okay, let's just talk about Asian men.
You don't want to bring in the women in this?
I'll
bring in Asian women all day long.
I do think that Asian men and women, it is I guess a stereotype that they should be smart. But I've never really came across any Asian people that were straight up really dumb.
Because they get killed off.
That's probably true.
There's a filter and a screening process.
They're
when
he
you turn one.
He didn't get through school, so
they're like,
he's
this
gone.
One. This one doesn't count.
He's two and he's not doing calculus yet. Let's just off him and start over fresh. That's what happens. It keeps the race pure.
I never even got to calculus, man. Keeps the race pure.
Yeah. Calculus is hard.
Calculus was hard.
My mom made me take that because she was like, you need to get the advanced degree thing, and now I already knew where I was going to go to school, and it didn't matter if I would take calculus or not.
Yeah.
And then I actually ended up having I studied really hard and it was not entering my brain, and I stayed after with the school and the teacher and everything, it was not entering my brain, and so I eventually had to do pass fail, and I barely passed, so I got a P on the report card for that.
P?
Yeah, for pass. It means that you're just not degraded for the F.
Mm-hmm. You're not degraded for the F?
It basically doesn't mean anything, I don't think. It's more of just it doesn't go towards any credit or anything. It basically won't hurt you. Whereas if I got a straight up F, that would have hurt my GPA.
So Simon, with this theory that you're talking about with Asian people, does that mean in high school and in college that you just killed it?
I was, you know, not to pat myself on the back, but I was just naturally good at school. You know, I was
a
guy.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
What does that mean, naturally good at school?
I didn't have to study as hard, you know. And I just kind of, you know,
I'm jealous.
Did you have siblings? I don't think I ever asked.
Yeah, I have a brother and sister.
Were they the same as well?
So my brother is the middle child. He's 23 now. Sorry, Josh, I forget how old he is. He's 23, and then my sister is 21, and my sister is more like me. She parties, she lets loose, you know, she gets into trouble and all that stuff. My brother just got into medical school. He was a kid. He doesn't go out. He doesn't really drink. I mean, all that stuff.
Studies.
Like he's just studying. He's got that my parents are proud type of life track. You know, as opposed to me and my sister were just kind of ones that are like, all right, well, fuck it. It's too late now. Just let them live their lives.
But does that mean that she was good at school too? Or
I think we were all naturally good at school.
It's because of the genes.
The genes.
It is. But it's like I was the guy that went out the night before my SATs, and I remember I was hungover. This was senior year in high school. I was hungover. I had partied till like, because it was also homecoming weekend. It was just a lot going on.
This PSATs before homecoming weekend?
SATs. Oh, this determines.
That's a lot of stuff to do, man.
Yeah, this is like my future.
Your whole life
the whole time you're thinking about, is this girl going to say yes to this date, or what's she
going to do? Yeah, and then we're out partying. I remember going hungover, and I got a 1340 on my SATs. Now, I'm not saying that.
I have no idea what that means. I didn't take the SATs.
This is when the SATs, like 16 was a perfect. So I think it's changed. Now, but like 1600 was a perfect score back then, and I got a 1340. And in my mind, I'm like, cool, that's good enough,
because
I'd already decided that I wanted to go to VCU art school, and I'm like, cool, whatever, fuck
Did you already get it?
I was already in the process. I got a scholarship and all that, so it was like, whatever. And in my mind, like, because school came so easy, it was never a question. Was I gonna get into school?
Oh my gosh, I'm so jealous of you.
But my mom, when I was like, yo, I got 1340. And her response was not what I expected. She just looked at me
like,
and was like,
out of the family.
She was like, well, she didn't say that, but she dead ass looked me in the eyes and was like, okay, so you plan on taking it again, right? I didn't know what to say. I was like, sure, mom. Like, and I never talked about it. I've never brought it up again.
She's
never,
like, that's a good first try, Simon.
Yeah, be like, what happened? Like, you didn't finish the other segment or something? Like,
you misspelled your name?
Yeah, but it was like, you know, school was always easy for me. And not to sound cocky or anything, it was just like something that I was just brought up, like, to be able to study and remember. To have like a photographic memory, so all I would have to do is just look at my notes, you know, a couple times, and then I would remember the answers when I was taking the test.
But did you comprehend?
I did. Well, I don't know yet. I'm still analyzing it. I think so.
Because there's a difference there.
Okay, you can't ask me about world history. There's U.S. world history, because I would not be able to answer.
There's a difference. It'd be great to retake the SATs like right now.
Oh my god.
There's a difference.
I wouldn't want to. But
you know, to me, there's a difference between being like, okay, so. You memorize that 1 plus 1 equals 2, and you just know that it's 2, but not knowing, you know, if you put 2, 1 and 1 together, that's 2 objects. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, a comprehension versus memorization.
I think with math, I think so.
Well, with anything.
I think, yeah. With math. Actually, yeah. I think I did. Right. I think I did a pretty good job. Actually, you're learning
genius.
It too. Yeah.
You're saying you're a genius.
Yeah, why not? Like, for the record, we're on the book.
You're the genius. I'm the evil genius, because I'm just like, why is it 2? You know what I mean? Yes. I'm like, why is it 2? I want it to not be 2. How about that?
1 + 1 =
And the funny thing is, so senior, you know, I was doing really well, and then senior year came, and I was in AP calculus. You know, I was on that track.
Dang,
right?
Man,
AP,
you're soaring.
So halfway through the year,
though, I'm so jealous of you.
No. Thing is,
when I was in high school, I envied people like you, because one of my friends was like that. She could memorize everything, and I was like. I wasn't necessarily trying to be like her, because I was my own thing, but like I was so like envious, because like I would try so hard for these tests, and like I would get A's and B's, but I would never be like the top people, you know, like I was just kind of like barely squeaking in, and like but like it took so much effort to do that.
You're like the guy that doesn't really even have to like lift a lot of weights or do a lot of
and
training,
you're
already like ripped.
Yeah,
I mean, I was like fortunate. I think it also.
And you're a tall Asian guy, so that's like already an anomaly.
It's a gift and a curse. I'm gonna say that it's a gift and a curse, because that was the senior years when my academic career deteriorated. Like to the, I went from like, you know, top of the class. You know, I might have been like top 30 to like my GPA dropping like 2 points, and I have an accomplishment that I'm very proud of.
What's that?
Worst case of senioritis and senior superlatives.
Oh, nice.
So I still have that award at home. Yeah, but it was like AP calculus, and then halfway through the year, I'm dropping down to high school calculus, and I'm failing. Same thing. All that.
That
this
is
my
major
senior year. Just
you know
took
what's
a downward spiral.
You know what's amazing? That
and I like how everyone knew your grades.
You know what that story is, though? That is like from Mean Girls. Remember Lindsay Lohan's character? She was like, no, I'm now part of the popular crew. I'm doing all these parties. And like, oh, now you're not a mathlete. You can't even. You're playing dumb to impress these. That's what
Did
that
you just
like.
Compare me to Lindsay Lohan?
Oh, or her character in
her
Mean Girls.
Oh, man. What's her character, Cammy or something?
No.
But yeah, that's what happened. And then college, it was like, I was art school. I was like, yo, your homework assignment is draw something. I was like, cool, yeah. Smoke weed and make art.
Make that happen. See, that's when I started focusing. I was just like, oh, I got paid for this?
I cheated a lot in my non-art classes, too.
Did you have a lot of them? Because what we have with like economics or...
So I opted out of math. I didn't have to take math after senior year ever again.
That's good.
Yeah, because after if you get like a 550 on SAT for math part, you don't have to take anything at VCU. Or I don't know if they have changed that, but
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so like no math forever.
Bypassed everything. Yeah. It was like a bye week for all of that. And then so the only academic classes I had to take, which is my weakest, was literature and English. So that's the last time I actually put an effort into any kind of academic pursuit was my freshman year of college. And after that, it was just like shoot videos and make animations and draw pictures.
And sit in front of a computer. Yeah,
and that's cool. Oh, you get an A for finishing this video assignment. Fantastic.
For finishing the video.
Hey, VCU.
Really?
Great school.
Great school.
Dude, I actually thought that my teachers were hard. Like, I still completed stuff, but I remember they weren't just like, A.
I remember there was a moment in junior year of my college where the teachers had to come in and basically announce, We're gonna have to start grading you a lot harder.
We're like, it's come down on administration.
No, that's what it really was. I'm not saying that everyone's getting it easy, but it was like for them to have to make a move. Like, yeah, so we're gonna have to, like, you know, put more stress on you guys to put stuff together. I was like, well, how much more can you do? Finish this project. Make sure it's good. Everything else is subjective.
There were not enough people failing, I guess.
Yeah. There's like there's too many people.
They didn't reach the quota.
Too many scholarships happening off of this stuff.
College was crazy, man. Damn. That was a long time ago.
I don't think I knew you at VCU. There's like so many
I didn't know Simon at VCU.
Well, then I definitely didn't. Because like there's like so many people that I've met that are VCU alumni that I never knew when I was at VCU.
It's
pretty crazy, though. There's just, like, so many people. VCU everywhere.
I don't think you
purple,
and I...
Yeah. Or not purple. Golden black. But not blue,
blue and yellow.
Like, the dress.
We didn't know each other directly, but I think I knew of you.
Yeah, there was connections, but we never had face-to-face until I met you directly at the Channel 12 editing suite or station.
Yeah. What was the first project we ever worked on?
Do you remember? You hired me to shoot something.
Really?
And I forgot I don't know what it was. It was some commercial.
Wow, man.
And then that was the only one. And every other time was through like passing.
Because, or like you were working for Joel.
Or I was working for Joel. Yeah. I can talk so much trash about
that. Let's not do that.
But like, but then after that, then, you know, after you, you know, you did your time with Channel 12, then you moved up to the Northern Virginia area. Mm-hmm. And then you had all these projects. And that's when we're like, all right, we're. Because I always lived. It was funny because everyone thought I lived in Richmond at that time, but I didn't. I just was there every week working. Right. And then when you came up here, and you're like, I didn't even know you lived up here. It's like, yeah. And we literally lived like 10 minutes away from each other.
And then Voltron came
and
together.
Then, yeah.
And I was like, yes.
We will become, I will be the head.
Mighty Morphin power evil geniuses.
And then, like, I don't even know what year it was, but then now we're just doing what we do, just more. You know what I mean?
Let's just pretend that it hasn't been 10 years, because that actually puts an age on us. So let's just say we just started.
We met when we were 17, then. That's when
we met when we were really, really young. We don't age either. I think Joe looks the same as he was when I first met him.
See, but here's the thing.
His beard's gotten longer.
Is it because it got longer? I'm trying to do like the Elvis thing or something like that. It's weird, though, because like I feel like, were you who I talked about where we said like Asians don't really age? Like normal
we don't.
I think Asians have a good way of...
See their eyes, that's why.
Mystifying, like, beauty, you know? Like they
mystifying beauty.
Yeah.
like Mulan.
We're like the elves in Lord of the Rings. The species.
Yeah, they're able to, like, condense the years. Whereas, like, I know some people that are around our age, and they look, like, 20 years older. I don't know what happened.
Speaking of Asians and smart, and now let's talk about Asian women. You know what really annoys me? And this is how we end the show. Is like, I hate it when Asian girls, and I know they're smart, I've seen their grades.
Yeah.
But in the day to day, they act stupid as fuck.
That's my main complaint with like, Asian women is that they
play stupid.
They play stupid, and I know they're smart because they're Asian.
Do you experience that, Simon?
Can I say that? I think that goes across all.
All females?
Ethnicities.
Okay.
Really?
I feel like there's a certain group of women that just think that it's cute or attractive to be the submissive, you know, non-intelligent, just like airy ditz kind of girl, and that, to me, that's like such ass backwards. Like if you got nothing going on up there,
I have
no attraction to.
I take it to that next level, and I'm just like, it's a trick. They're trying to manipulate. You know what I mean? They're trying to reverse psychology.
But guys are smarter now. Like, they're not going to fall into that trap. Because even, like, people that played that part, like Marilyn Monroe, she was pretty smart, like, woman, you know? And she knew what she was doing.
Right.
But maybe that caught on. Maybe everyone's like, I'm going to be like her.
Right.
You know?
And that, I think that era is gone now. I think that was a trend or a fad, I guess, in us growing up, is there was a time where it was like, what was that, Clueless.
Clueless,
and
yeah.
All
yeah.
those movies were coming out glorifying girls that are just ditzy and all about like this superficial mm-hmm. outer appearance.
I mean, there's still going to be always that type of woman, but I feel like now guys are smart enough to like actually appreciate women for their brain more than any other body part, which is cool. Because, like, well, you know, I can appreciate, like, good legs or boobs or whatever, too. But, like, at the same time, it's, like, you want to be able to, like, have a connection with her, you know, if you want to take it further.
Growing up or going through college, I was always so thrown off because, yeah, you brought up Clueless and, like, talking and saying, like, the like, you know, like, the Valley Girl thing. Right. And we were talking about minorities. It always threw me off whenever I would hear, like, Indian girls speaking like that, where they speak like the Valley
like
Girl
Mindy.
Voice. Yeah, like Mindy or like, you know, Asians. I'm just like, whoa, that is so weird. Maybe I expected them to have like an accent.
Yeah.
But maybe that's why I mean,
they're Americanized now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
that's the Americanized.
Culture.
Yeah.
Hey, sorry. No offense to all the Western people. Wait, we're Western people too.
I don't even know what I classify. No
Are we offending people?
I hope so.
My favorite moment of all of that is always when they try. But see, it works though. When they play dumb, they get their way.
Sometimes it works. It works.
Have you had to be
it
like?
It works on certain guys.
It does.
Yeah, it's a trick.
It is a trick. They usually want to get money.
They usually or want to get ahead.
Ahead, yeah.
Yeah, which equals money.
Sluts. Am I allowed to say slut?
You can spell it out.
Is there a guy version of that though?
Like, man whore.
Like a guy that acts stupid, but he's really smart. I don't think you guys have that equivalent as much.
Because girls, what is it attractive for a girl to see a guy who's dumb?
I mean, there was that Seth Rogen type of guy that was big. You know, and be like, oh, you know, like the lazy.
That's
dude.
Pretty much every guy.
Yeah, but I don't think is there an airhead version? Oh, actually, there is. Like the Pauly Shore. What was it? Like Biodome and that. Is that sexy at all?
What's up,
to
buddy?
Girls?
What's up,
I don't
buddy?
Consider it sexy, but I guess it's kind of funny or entertaining or something. Or kind of like a. Who's that guy from Scooby Doo?
Shaggy?
Like a Shaggy type. Like he's like your friend, but he's like all fun and like.
Goofy and silly.
Yeah.
I guess that might be a 90s thing then. Maybe the what do we call it? 2000s.
But Shaggy, I never thought was dumb. It's like he had certain.
Come on, Scoob.
He had certain like ways to solve problems. He
probably
just,
got
like,
all the girls. He probably did get all the girls. Shaggy.
I like Shaggy better than the blonde guy.
I don't think guys can.
Who is the blonde guy? Ken.
Ken.
I don't think guys can act dumb because we have too much pride. Our ego won't allow us. We feel like we know everything.
But that's the downfall of women, though. I think that's the downfall of women because men, like even if there's two men in a room, they kind of want to compete to be like, who's the smartest?
Who's the alpha?
I'm gonna be smarter, you know, or whatever. Yeah. Even if they're friends, you know, it's still like they have that, and that's I think that's just men. But like women, I feel like. One of them could probably like decrease in brain because they're just like, and now everyone's looking at me. You know,
look
like,
at my tits. Like, these are my brains.
I have two.
It took us 53 minutes to start talking about boobs. I'm a little upset.
That's a good record, though. That's
a
good record.
Cha-ching.
Man. Simon, thanks for being on the show, man.
Hey, man, I feel honored. I hope this isn't the last time.
Me too.
Yeah, yes. Come back.
What do you got to promote? What can people find you? You have so many things, so you got to be selective.
No, the one thing is just House Studio. I think, you know, we're in a good space right now, and, you know, we got nominated for a Grammy this past year, and we've kind of tasted that.
What's the Grammy scoop?
It was Soja, so we were involved in a record.
Soja.
That they,
and
yeah,
I've,
Soja.
I've worked with Soja. I've filmed Soja. It's good.
So it was, I guess, the best reggae album. So we had, you know, with the Grammys, it's like the Oscars, you know, everybody involved in the project. Is part of the project. So we worked on a record with them, and so we were nominated for the whole overall piece.
Yeah,
we didn't win.
Cool.
We
Wait, was this to... for this is the album? So
it's an honor.
Production.
It's an honor just to be nominated.
Yeah,
it's just
an honor, but it's not even that. It's more so like I think the team has this newfound, you know, this new direction. Not a new direction because I think it was always one of our goals, but it's become more tangible.
But what is the phrase like? Once you have a like the taste of blood or the blood's in the water or something like that.
Yeah, when you're younger,
I have that feeling when I got my first A, and I'm like, oh, it's possible. You know what I mean?
And
so I was like, then I had an addiction of wanting to be the freaking best.
It's just like you have this dream and you're like, oh man, one day I want to win an Oscar. But it's another thing to be like nominated or actually be in those conversations or even just be in a room full of people who are working because it changes your whole mindset.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where the studio's at. You know, the guys are learning, so the team's growing. I'm not having to yell at these guys as much anymore, you know, on the visual side. And we're just hoping to the next move for us is Grammys and then movies, man. And I know we're going to talk about working on.
That's why you're here, man.
Yeah,
that's you're here. So Website real fast.
Housestudio.co.
That's important.
That's C-O. Very, C-O. And all House Studio DC, Twitter, Instagram. You can check me out on KimShim1 on Instagram, Twitter. And yeah, let's stay tuned for the collabo with the Stray J, the evil genius, because I think we're going to do some cool stuff. And hopefully he'll put me on camera because I got this acting bug that I'm just like really, really dying to itch. Nice, man.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. This show is brought to you by Stray Productions. Check them out at StrayProductions.com. Also, check out my work, JoeCarabello.com, GoAstray.tumblr.com. Also, check out my band, MickeyMMallory.com. Also, One-Shots.com. That's where Simon also acted. You can check that out. Carolyn, check out Carolyn's work at curls-studio.com/curls. Also, check out her work at carolynbolevsky.com and her Kickstarter. Say Kickstarter, Carolyn.
Kickstarter. Go to kickstarter.com and search for Curls.
So thank you, Simon, for being on. It was awesome, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. It was awesome. Fun.
It was a great time. Everyone out there, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Be excellent to each other. See you later.
Adios.